presenting a workshop with Ellen Leon. Explore, discuss, and embody 20 principles of balance in gentle yoga and mindfulness on May 18th. Ellen Leon teaches at Piedmont Yoga Studio in Oakland and at the Omega Studio, the Omega Institute in New York. The workshop is Wednesday, May 18th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Yoga Center of Chico. For more information and registration, call 342-0100. And by Bill Carter Realty, proud to sponsor Community Radio. Bill Carter Realty is located on the corner of 8th and Wall Streets in Chico, and the telephone number is 899-2294 or online at billcarterrealty.com. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Robert Jones. Tonight on Non-Human Radio.
A new bill sits before Congress that would prohibit threats or acts of violence directed at pets. Also, do birds have the right not to be caged, but to fly? Jeannie will review the latest natural foods market to open down its doors downtown. All that, plus the vegan calendar of events, next.
Over here in Non-Human Radio Newsroom, we're presenting an article on ample research and horrific statistics document a crystal clear link between animal abuse and domestic violence. One reason, the FBI now tracks animal abuse in a database. Despite the fact that we understand that this link is painfully intimate detail, pets are still at grave risk because they have fewer protections under the law. Abusers view animals as soft and easy targets, and yet another tool to use in abusing their partners. While some states have enacted additional protections for pets, there's nothing on the federal level. So there's state loopholes, states that aren't covered. This could change with H.R. 1258, the Pet and Women Safety Act, the PAWS Act, a piece of legislation that would prohibit threats or acts of violence directed at pets. The proposed legislation also takes the important step of including pets in federal law pertaining to interstate stalking, protection order violations, and restitution. 71% of women who identified themselves as pet guardians when they entered shelters reported that their partners had injured, maimed, or killed their pets, and 32% noted that their children were involved in animal abuse. Most of these incidents happened in front of family members with the express purpose of coercion. And many abusers who targeted animals also had existing prior records.
Jeannie, can I jump in here for a second?
Absolutely.
So let me get clear on this. So there is a bill before Congress, H.R. 1258, the Pet and Women's Safety Act.
Yes.
So basically what it's saying here, you said 71% of women who identified themselves as, you know, having pet guardians or having companion animals, when they entered shelters, they reported that their partners had either injured, maimed, or killed their pets.
Yes.
So in other words, it sounds like the abuser uses the animal, the companion animal, as some kind of proxy or some kind of intimidation, so harming the animal to sort of intimidate and psychologically kind of scar the victim?
Yeah, it's a very vulnerable relationship, right? I mean, I was looking up some statistics. I don't have anything exact, but definitely concern for companion animals is a reason why domestic abuse victims delay or cancel their exit plans with a violent partner.
Right, so they don't want to leave their pets behind.
Yeah.
So they stay.
Yeah. And our system is set up to accommodate kids of domestic violence victims, but not so much their pets. So, yeah. But in some states, they are more prepared for this eventuality, but not nationwide, and so that's why an act like this is good legislation.
Good. Nice.
Let's see, where did it lead off?
I think we're talking about the social workers.
Yeah, right? Social workers, doctors, and humane investigators and advocates often identify animal abuse before domestic violence, finding that victims are more ready to admit that their pets are being abused than they are to report the violence that they themselves are experiencing. That is so sad.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Violence directed at animals can serve both as a gateway to escalating violence and a clue that something seriously wrong is happening in a household. Veterinarians, for example, may see pets with unexplained injuries or that their guardians are reluctant to explain. Just like they're reluctant to explain, you know, bruises or other marks on their own person.
Right.
Anyway, those who question guardians about the situation, if they do it carefully, they may find out that their clients need a referral for domestic violence services.
So this PAWS Act, P-A-W-S, right. The Pet and Women's Safety Act, H.R. 1258, it's, from what I have read, it's stuck in the House and the Senate. It's sort of languishing in some subcommittee somewhere. So what, if people are interested, what do you think, what can we do here?
Right. So it's stuck in the Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, so folks can call that committee and leave a message and ask that this bill be moved out of committee onto the next step, and they can do that by dialing 202-224-2035. Locally, they can call Senator Doug LaMalfa and ask him to contact the subcommittee and ask and advise them that his constituents would like to see him exert some pressure to get this moved along. And Doug LaMalfa's local number is 530-532-5860.
Come on, Doug. Do the right thing.
Thanks.
Step up. Step up and do it, man.
Yeah,
let's go.
You know, animal issues...
Get on it.
Animal issues are bipartisan issues. You look at the background of a lot of animal protection legislation, and it's got they've got a full complement of Democratic and Republican supporters because pets are nonpartisan. I have some local resources if folks are interested.
What's that? My cat is actually a socialist. So you said they're nonpartisan. We can talk about that another time.
Your cat's not in the Green Party?
Well, he's going for Bernie Sanders this year.
I see.
Change
I see.
Parties.
I see. So locally, Catalyst is our domestic violence shelter based in Chico, and they are part of the safety program, which is set up for domestic violence victims with companion animals. Safety stands for Sheltering Animals and Families Together. It's a program of another animal nonprofit, but Catalyst is participating in it. So if you call Catalyst at 343-7711, you can get more information. They are set up with local vets and our local shelter to provide safe haven for companion animals of victims of domestic violence. They realize it's a serious issue that victims of domestic violence do not want to leave their pets behind.
Right. Well, the pets are, the quote, pets are part of the family.
Yeah.
Can you give that number for Catalyst again? Because that's a great organization.
Catalyst is at 343-7711 or online at catalyst.org.
Good.
Another resource, if you're not in the Chico area, Red Rover, which is a group based in Sacramento, they have webinars on their website, which is redrover.org, on domestic violence. And what I thought was fascinating and great. It offers grants for victims of domestic violence to plan their escape from abusive partners. So you have your caseworker, assuming you're working with a group like Catalyst, submit a request to Red Rover, and Red Rover will grant funds to cover the boarding of your pet at a kennel while you are rearranging your life and getting to a better place.
Good. So this is some progress in the world of domestic abuse and in the world of caring for the pets, because it really is, like you were saying, people who are abused, they don't want to leave their companion animals behind. So there has to be some facilitating for care for them.
Right. And, I'll just say that this issue also affects people who don't want to leave their pets behind. That was a big issue in Katrina. Mm-hmm. People actually died because they didn't want to leave their pets behind, because at that time, rescue services for disasters did not include companion animals going along.
Right. What else do you have over there in the newsroom, Jeannie?
The next one is an interesting story. It takes place in India. It's 3 weeks ago, the High Court of Delhi in New Delhi, India, proclaimed that the trade of birds is in violation of the rights of the birds. That birds have a fundamental right to fly in the sky, and all human beings have no right to keep these to keep them in small cages for the purposes of their business or otherwise. So this means that it's based on the conviction that animals should benefit from a presumption in favor of their well-being.
So hold on a second. Let me just get clear on this. From what I read, you're saying that this is the Supreme Court of India, right?
Right.
Of New Delhi. And they said that birds have a fundamental right to fly in the sky, and that all human beings, or no human beings, have a right to keep them in cages.
Right. So the rights of the animals, the non-human animals, precede the rights of humans.
Interesting. Wow. So India is a little bit ahead of the United States and Britain with regard to the animal rights legislation.
Yeah, I'll proceed with the rest of the story, but I was doing some research, and it turns out that the Constitution of India, Article 51, says that it shall be the duty of every citizen of India to have compassion for living creatures.
Wow. It's a duty of every citizen of India to have compassion for living creatures.
Yeah. Word for word, that's what it says.
Wow, well, that's very progressive.
Yeah, that was from a lawyer who was blogging about the predecessor to this judgment that was just released.
I think it's a duty of every sentient being to have compassion for every other sentient being.
I agree. It seems so commonsensical, right? But unfortunately, common sense kind of flies out the door when we look at animal issues.
Yeah.
I'll go on. Quote, We have to examine the various issues raised in these cases, primarily in keeping in mind the welfare and well-being of the animals, and not from the standpoint of the organizers, from the organizers, spectators, or participants, or the respective states, or the central government, since we're dealing with a welfare legislation of a sentient being, over which human beings have dominion, and the standard we have to apply is deciding the issue on hand, is the species' best interest subject to the two just exceptions out of human necessity. So species' best interest, again, comes above human interests, except in cases of human necessity.
Right. So what's amazing to me about this is this court is arguing that, usually, at least in the United States, for the most part, when it comes to legislation regarding animal welfare, they have a kind of a secondary interest, or they have a kind of they don't have like an intrinsic interest to be protected. It's oftentimes in virtue of the relation to the humans as property. So, for example, if something happens to your dog and you can't really bring a case to court, people have tried because a dog is seen as a kind of property. Well, what's interesting in this case is that they're saying that the animals, they have a kind of inherent or intrinsic value separate from their value to human beings. That's a pretty tremendous statement by the Supreme Court of India.
Right, because in this case, the animals in question here were birds.
Birds in cages.
Birds that have been I think mostly wild caught, for use in the pet trade, and maybe even the zoo trade. That I wasn't very clear in the documents I looked at. So what it's saying is that you, bird trader, don't have absolute dominion over these birds.
Right.
Right? At this basic level? Or am I simplifying it too much?
That's it. The birds have a right to fly. So let's see if they open up all the cages.
Shall I proceed?
Let's proceed.
Okay. The statement rests on the idea that animals do have fundamental rights. According to the court, these rights at least include the right of life, defined not only as the right to exist, but as the right to live a life with some intrinsic worth, honor, and dignity. The court also recognizes the right of animals to be free from human torture. This latter right, the freedom from human torture, is simply seen as a corollary of the interdiction for humans to harm animals unnecessarily. So, as to the necessity test, the court listed the valid grounds on which a human could rest to justify the violation of an animal's fundamental rights. Aside from a religion exception, the court only recognizes the following: the purpose of advancement by new discovery or of physiological knowledge, or of knowledge which will be used for saving or for prolonging life, or alleviating suffering, or for combating any disease, whether of human beings, animals, or plants, and also destruction of animals for food.
So, boy, they went out there. They make the statement that birds have a right, intrinsic right to honor and dignity, and they have the right to fly. And then they have an exception that you can destroy an animal for food. Bummer.
Yeah, well.
Is that called cognitive dissonance, or is that just my imagination?
That's what I would call it.
Okay.
That's what I would call it. And yet, I mean, this court ruling is based on rights of animals.
It's true.
Which is, as you say, we do not see in American jurisprudence.
No. Well,
not
one
yet.
Step at a time.
Not yet, anyway.
Well, Jeannie, thanks for that story. Now, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM Chico, worldwide at kzfr.org, or on your app. There's a KZFR app. Go download the app, listen to KZFR, just press play and don't turn it off. Anyway, right now it's time for Jeannie's vegan-friendly pick of the week. Jeannie, back over to you in the KZFR vegan pick of the week room.
You got it. My vegan-friendly pick of the week is the New Earth Market, a new natural food store that opened up at the north end of town over at East Avenue in Cohasset, next to Walgreens in the space where that old Hollywood Video used to be. The place is sort of like a Whole Foods, but a little more relaxed and not quite as pricey, in my opinion. In addition to a fully stocked grocery and produce area, New Earth has a salad bar, a vegan-friendly deli, so like potato salads and broccoli salads and quinoa salads and things like that. It has a burrito bar, it has an organic coffee and smoothie bar, and an in-house pizzeria with a nice open dining area. I know that their Yuba City store, it's a sister store, the Yuba City store has served up vegan biscuits and gravy on occasion, which is something that I'm going to keep an eye out for that. I really hope to see that sometime soon.
Vegan biscuits and gravy?
I know. If you go to Portland, all the restaurants, even the Omni ones and the non-vegan friendly ones, they have biscuits and gravy, and often they're vegan friendly biscuits and gravy. So
wow,
it's just
okay.
A big, Chico could use some more of that kind of action. The just a heads up that the pizza dough at the pizzeria is not vegan, but you can order your pizza on something what they call their longboard flatbread. And as far as I know, they do not have vegan cheese yet, which is a real bummer.
Jeannie, I have a question. What is in dough, pizza dough, that's not vegan?
I know, right?
If
you look at any classic recipe for pizza dough, it's just flour, water, yeast, and salt, and thyme.
Yes.
That's like all the best pizzerias in Chico. That's all that's in them. They don't even add like dough conditioners and stuff like that. It boggles the mind that there's some animal-based additive to the flour in this thing, whether it's whey or egg whites or God knows what.
Could be some shortening, animal fat, animal-based shortening in there, maybe?
Maybe. I doubt it. I think it's whey or something.
Okay.
So, one thing, however, that does make me really happy, even though I'm kind of lukewarm on the pizza thing, they have shelf tags that show a little vegan icon if the product is vegan. So that helps me, like, know whether I'm even going to pick up the item the packaged good item from the shelf or not. So, so that's
I think
good.
I should wear one of those shelf tags.
Yeah, actually, I'm wearing a vegan T-shirt, but
I like that.
You are not.
No, so. I like your vegan T-shirt.
Yeah. Anyway, so I still read the labels even with the vegan tag, but it's just nice to have a little help. The shelf tags also point out, which is nice, they point out fair trade logo, an organic logo, and non-GMO items too. So that's those are all handy shopping guides. The other nice but kind of curious thing about the store is that they promise that none of their foods contain animal byproducts, hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils and fats, as well as no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. And they also promise that none of their products are tested on animals. So I think that's it's great, but it's like so confusing to me to promise not to carry products with animal byproducts or that are not tested on animals, but then to have a in the corner a full-service specialty butcher shop on site. I don't know. I see the good intentions of this kind of list, which is a whole page on their website. But it's like so mind-boggling, and confusing.
Well, so do the animals that are butchered, are those considered animal byproducts? I don't understand this.
Yeah, no. I guess I mean like you have primary products and you have byproducts.
Oh, I see.
Right.
So if I'm eating, say, like the thigh of a pig, that's. That's not a byproduct, but if I'm going to have whey from it, from dairy, that's a byproduct.
I don't think, I mean, whey must not be considered a byproduct.
I don't know. I'm confused.
Because I think they sell it.
Maybe I'm confused. Maybe they're confused.
I think they're well-intentioned.
No animal byproducts, and they have a butcher shop. That's okay.
I think they're well-intentioned, but confused.
All right.
So, but in any case, it's really nice to have another shopping option up there at the north end of town, and the vegans in the Chico Vegan Group, they're very happy about it because it's convenient, and it's clean and nice and spacious, and they are responsive to vegan requests. So anyway, the details are New Earth is located at 864 East Avenue at the corner of Cohasset and East Avenue. And it's open Monday to Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m. and on Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can Google them and find out their website. And
thanks, Jeannie. That was good to know. I have to check that place out. Well, in case you just tuned in, again, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM. Chico and worldwide at kzfr.org. Well, it's time for the Non-Human Radio weekly calendar of events. Back over to you, Jeannie, in the KZFR vegan calendar of events room.
I know, I'm doing so much talking. Okay, so here are some animal-friendly events in Chico. And remember that all the info on upcoming events, as well as other items we mentioned throughout the show, are posted on our website, nonhumanradio.com. There'll be a show notes page for each show. On May 21st, coming up, I'll be teaching a class on making your own vegan cheese from scratch, courtesy of the Chico Chapter Dharma Voices for Animals.
Go, Jeannie!
Yeah. I'll be demonstrating how to make four types of vegan cheese, including a brie, and a mozzarella for pizza, and it'll be soy-free varieties as well as some with soy, and everybody will get a little sampler pack.
I've had your brie. I tasted Jeannie's brie. I can vouch for it. It's delicious.
Yeah, and you can do it yourself. It's very easy to make. The class is going to be very beginner-friendly, and everyone's welcome, whether you're omni or vegan. Everyone's welcome.
Carno.
No, I don't use that term.
You can invite cats to come.
We charge a small fee to cover materials, and classes are held at the Sky Creek Dharma Center in North Chico, and the registration link will be posted with the show notes. There'll be there's plenty of space left in the show. And then next coming up is on May 28th, Saturday, May 28th at 6 p.m., is the Chico Vegan Potluck at the Chico Library Community Room. If you've been shy about attending or you're curious what the heck a vegan diet is, and
V curious,
sure.
Is that what they call it?
Veg curious.
Veg curious.
Yeah.
That sounds like something in the back of the Chico News and Review. No, I'm not that I would know about that. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to proceed. And if you think that vegans just eat sprouts, tofu, and salads, I can understand that belief, but I encourage you to come and attend a potluck and see that is not the case. We have like so much good food at these things. You just have to try being vegan for about 2 hours, and you can bring something you make, or you can get something store-bought. It just has to be 100% vegan. And we typically get about 30 or more people showing up, all age ranges.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I always bring something I bought at the store, and then sometimes I make pretend I made it. Like, I get those chocolate chip cookies, you know, from Trader Joe's.
I was
going to
say, those chocolate chip cookies in the brown paper bags from Trader Joe's are delicious.
They're good, and sometimes I take them out of the bag and I make pretend I slaved over a hot stove all day.
So you know what they have now? I should have made it a pick of the week. You know what they have at Trader Joe's now?
I do. I do know what you're going to say. They have vegan cream cheese.
No, wrong.
Okay, what do they have now?
They have vegan marshmallows.
Vegan marshmallows.
Yeah. Did you know most marshmallows have gelatin in them?
Gelatin. Jeannie, what is gelatin? What does a marshmallow have to do with animals and vegan? I don't understand. Please explain.
Well, you need something to keep sugar puffy and tender at room temperature and touchable, right? And
right. So, like a marshmallow.
And so gelatin is a type of protein which is derived from cartilage from animal bones. So typically hooves is what I hear is used. They boil them up and that extracts out the gelatin from the hooves, which are full of cartilage. And so you add that to sugar and you whip it up, and typically that's how you make marshmallows. Well, the vegan marshmallows, they use something else for that gelatin part, typically like an agar. I don't know what the ingredients are on this.
But they have it at Trader Joe's.
They have it at Trader Joe's.
So wait, when I was a kid and I was eating marshmallows, basically I was eating ground up hooves and animal cartilage into the sugar. That's what's going on?
You were eating way more sugar than cartilage. But yes, there was cartilage.
But there was cartilage.
Yeah.
I never remember my mother saying, enjoy the Jell-O with the cartilage pieces in it. I never got that.
You wouldn't have enjoyed them nearly as much if she had been honest about it.
After the show, I'm calling my mother after the show.
Okay. Let's see. So the potluck. And then on June 1st, the Sacramento Animal Rights Group is holding a rally to send a message of compassion in opposition to the cruelty and misinformation of what is National Dairy Month. The month of June is the National Dairy Month, and so some compassionate human beings, are going to hold a peaceful rally at the offices of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, and also near the USD office there. And they're going to have a peaceful protest, and they've notified the press, and hopefully they'll get on TV. And and raise some awareness. Yeah. It's by the same folks who had the protest against the cow milking contest at Davis back in April.
Well, we have to talk on one of these shows about cow milking, because people think, like, what's wrong with cow milking? There's a cow, it's old Bessie, she's sitting there, you take the milk out. It's not a problem.
She's not
you
hard.
Vegans and you're, what do you, so we have to talk about that.
Yeah, definitely.
We can't do it today because we're kind of running out of time. It looks like we're just about out of time for this show, but if you have any, if you have an event that has something to do with animal rights or veganism, send it to us, go to the website. But before we leave, Jeannie, what about our animal rights subversive quote of the week?
This week I picked James Baldwin, who's an African-American novelist, essayist, and social critic who uncovered racial, sexual, and class distinctions in Western society.
And he wrote an amazing book called The Fire Next Time. Everyone should read it.
And he wasn't vegan, as far as I know, but what he says I think pertains to all of us. And that is, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced.
He was a very wise man.
Absolutely.
Well, Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Thanks to our engineer and friend, Sue Hildebrand.
Go, Sue. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are entirely those of the hosts and do not in any way reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you just want to listen again or have your friends and family listen, visit us online at nonhumanradio.com. And be sure to stay tuned for The Real Issue with Sue Hildebrand coming up next. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
Go vegan.